This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this sloppy Sunday morning here in the Capital Region. Came down from the Saratoga, Boston Spa area. There was a little rain in the air then, but as I got down close to Albany, it was a messy mix of rain and snow, and I looked down at the little thermometer on my dashboard, and we were hovering around that 32-degree area. And I just mention all of that because if you're headed out, just keep that in mind because it is a little bit sloppy, at least here in the Albany area, and hovering around the 32-degree mark, it may get a little slick as well. So, again, just keep that in mind if you're headed out this morning for any kind of travels. Be careful today. Want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship, as always, sponsoring some of the programming and promos here at Capital OTB. Gulfstream Park, champions start here. We'll talk a lot of Gulfstream today. Before I do that, let me mention today at the Clubhouse Racebook, a trifecta challenge, a match bet challenge. So there'll be a double promotion here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon. Love to see you down here, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. A lot of folks will be firing on that rainbow mandatory down at Gulfstream. So come on down and root along with the crowd for your rainbow ticket. Also keep in mind 1% bonus on your OTB Aqueduct wagers. Wager with Capital OTB Bet. And you get a 1% bonus today, Sunday, with Aqueduct betting. There are some restrictions. Check out the website for more information. All right, again, we'll do a little Gulfstream. We'll recap some of the stakes action from yesterday on a really nice card. I mean, we talked mid-card with our colleague Brian Addo, who was there and verified great weather and nice little crowd down there. They wound up with some really nice racing, and we'll go through the stakes action. Bottom of the hour, we will reach out to Brian Addo. And again, you can find his Gulfstream selections every Gulfstream racing day on the Capital OTB one sheet via CapitalOTB.com. And then look for the handicapper support link. Nice printable sheet. But we'll reach out to Brian and he and I will take a look at today's Rainbow Six sequence with, again, a mandatory pay today, well over $3 million in the pool, approaching four, I think. They're going to send it in. It's going to be a good day to take a shot. At least put a little modest ticket together at the 20-cent increment. You can have some fun and have a little bit of coverage and take your shot at maybe winding up with a nice little payday. Even, again, if it comes out logically, the amount of money that is put into the pool, I mean, even the payout for a logical sequence should be enough to make you happy, put a little bit of a smile on your face. Certainly a couple of people wound up with a smile yesterday in the rainbow. It almost was taken down. And the yellow light was flashing for a Gulfstream and not making it. Once again, one of those situations where the day before a big mandatory and anticipated big pool. The sequence yesterday, here are the payoffs, $15 and change, 7 and change, 12 and change, $74. That was the one that obviously, really threw the monkey wrench into the mix. That was Spooky Channel in the McKnight. I will say, tipping my cap to our colleague Brian Addo, he had that one right underneath. He liked Red Knight in that race. Red Knight did go off as the 4-5 favorite and ran fourth, but he had Spooky Channel right underneath there. So Spooky Channel, you know, $74. I'm not going to say it was a gimme, but there were some things that you could have liked in there. So, and I'm not saying, oh, everybody should add it on their ticket. I'm just saying I'm kind of surprised that as we, again, went through that sequence, 15 and change, 7 and change, 12 and change, 74 and change, then $25. But again, the $25 was Zulu Alpha, who was certainly playable. And the sequence wound up $8 and change for Mucho Gusto. Rainbow yesterday pays $394,000. And I'm looking, I'm assuming with the money that was put into the pool, that's two tickets, maybe three tickets. Going into the last race, there was only 18 live tickets. But more importantly, in the 10-horse field, five of the horses would have paid out the entire pool. Five of the horses would have been single-ticket winners and would have paid out the $5 million to some lucky handicapper. And one of those was the favorite in the race, Higher Power. I mean, you were going to get $5 million for getting a 5-2 shot home. Now, Higher Power just threw in a real clunker. And we wound up with Mucho Gusto. Again, multiple tickets, but it may have been only two. So, again, it was, if like me, you were looking forward to, like a lot of players, looking forward to taking a shot at the mandatory today. It was close to going down yesterday. Again, on a day where, you know, the sequence didn't fall together. The big fields, I think, played into it. But, boy, you look at a day like that, and just so many combinations have to be covered. Again, the $74 horse was certainly Spooky Channel, certainly the one that you would think threw the monkey wrench into it. And with the $15 horse and the $25 horse, that added. But so many combinations covered. It was amazing that half of the field going into the final leg were up for grabs for taking down the whole pool yesterday. But it didn't happen. There is plenty of money, as they say, $4 million-ish, a little under that, I guess, in the pool. Although I don't know what, I didn't see the actual total, but at four. And it will just build from there. Kicks off today, I believe, in race number 7. Just want to give you that so you can plan ahead. Again, we will look at that in a few minutes with Brian Addo. Race number 6 is the kickoff today. Scheduled post time just a little before 3 p.m. this afternoon. So keep that in mind if you are thinking about it. And if you aren't thinking about it, think about it, because you want to jump in and, as I say, take a little shot. All right, let's take a look at some of the stakes action. Let's start out by going back to Friday. It was opening day at Oaklawn, and the opening day stakes race was the Smarty Jones, which kind of kicks off their three-year-old trail to the Arkansas Derby and subsequently then, obviously, the Kentucky Derby. And that three-year-old trail has become popular and productive over the last few years, has some serious players have come out of it. And as I say, this Smarty Jones on opening day kind of kicked it off. I like Shoplifted from Steve Asmussen. I've liked this horse over the past few starts. Didn't do so well out in Southern California at Santa Anita in the American Pharoah and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But Asmussen then went from there to the Springboard Mile at Remington, and the horse got it done. Winds up running third on Friday. But it's another. Asmussen had four horses in the race. And Gold Street gets it done for him. Gold Street was coming out of a win in the Sugar Bowl down at Fairgrounds. Gold Street's going to be the number 6 horse on the lead all the way around. Nice late run from number 9, Three Technique, to run second. And then Shoplifted runs third. Gold Street, again, an Asmussen runner, took four starts to break the maiden, then won the stake, the Sugar Bowl at Fairgrounds, and now has won the Smarty Jones. But Three Technique, nice runner for Jeremiah Engelhart and Bill Parcells' August Dawn Farm. I thought was a pretty good second in there. Asmussen after the race said the track condition just kind of played into Gold Street and the victory. Asmussen thought on opening day it was a little bit conducive to speed, and again, Gold Street took him all the way around. Wound up with a 95 buyer, pretty good buyer this time of year for a three-year-old. So I thought solid performance from really all three, again, given the way the track played as well. Silver Prospector, another Asmussen horse. That one was coming out of a win in the Kentucky Jockey Club. And again, that's the race that Tis the Law ran third in. I was interested to see what he would do. Silver Prospector winds up fourth in there. But again, in the Kentucky Jockey Club, he came from a little bit off the pace. He was towards the back of the pack on Friday. Half-mile pole, he was sitting last and got up for fourth on a track that just wasn't playing to that. So Silver Prospector, again, just kind of playing a little bit against the track. I don't know if it's an actual bias necessarily, but playing a little bit against the way the track was being conducive on Friday. So again, maybe the top four. Let's take another look at Silver Prospector. But Gold Street, a nice win. Three Technique, good at second. Again, Shoplifted. I'm getting the feeling on the three-year-old scene, Shoplifted may be one of those horses that's just kind of playing around, and you have to put him in the mix. And if he picks his spots right, might wind up being okay. But I want to see one more from him, again, given the way the track was playing on Friday. All right, let's jump in and take a look at some of these stakes from Gulfstream yesterday. First up, the World of Trouble Turf Sprint. Big favorite in here was Sheki Shabazz, the number one horse, went off at 1-2. You will see in the stretch, he gets into a little spot where he can't really find any room. He's sitting behind the leaders there, and he's not really going to find a spot. Number two, Texas Wedge, though, gets a nice trip on the outside. And then it opens up for Sheki Shabazz. But by then, Texas Wedge has the momentum, as does number eight, Karatari. And those two just kind of run well enough that they hold off Sheki Shabazz. That one can't make up ground. And Sheki Shabazz, in fact, caught late for third. Sheki Shabazz winds up fourth, but it is number two, Texas Wedge, as you saw on the outside there, getting a nice late run to get it done for trainer Peter Miller. We had talked to Peter Miller on the show yesterday, and so he starts off the stakes action with a nice win in the World of Trouble. Texas Wedge getting it done. Turf Sprinting, which has become, you know, it become obviously more popular in the country over the past 5 or 10 years, but also more popular as a stakes kind of a division. And so you would think we'll look for Texas Wedge and Sheki Shabazz will be back and whatnot in Turf Sprints as the year progresses. Turf Sprints for the ladies a little bit later on. Before I continue on the stakes section, I did want to show the fourth race, because this one, like the Smarty Jones at Oaklawn, the fourth race at Gulfstream yesterday, anytime you have these big stakes days and you get, you know, you're early on the Derby scene and you get some runners coming from prominent outfits that show a little life, you have to think, this may be one that they'll shoot for some three-year-old stakes sooner rather than later. And I think that's the case with Market Analysis. Nice field of 10 in the fourth race yesterday. These were three-year-old maidens going 7 furlongs. First start at 7 is always a little bit tough, so I thought this was a nice win for Market Analysis. It's Todd Pletcher. It's Windstar China Horse Club. They paid $250,000 for this Son of Honor Code. Market Analysis, as you can see here, nice run in the stretch. Will have to hold off Attachment Rate late. That's the number six horse who's coming and making a nice late run himself in the second start of the career for Dale Romans. But I don't know if there was any point in the stretch where you thought Market Analysis was going to be beaten. Nice late run, though, again, from second time starter Attachment Rate from Dale Romans. So maybe a couple to watch going forward. But I thought Market Analysis in the career debut yesterday at Gulfstream, again, on one of those big stakes days. 7 furlongs, always a little bit of a tough trip. That one getting it done, I thought was worth taking a little bit of a look at. All right, continuing the stakes section, the ladies turf sprinting and the ladies turf sprint. 5 furlongs on the grass. I like Jean Elizabeth. Thought this was a nice gutty performance from her. The favorite was Girls Know Girls Know Best. I had those two 1-2. They ran 1-2. The betting public like Girls Know Best better. They made the two-horse the favorite, but number five, Jean Marie, nice, steady progress. Just keeps coming, and just kind of gets to the favorite and pulls away a little bit by a chart margin of a half a length. Running third was Kyoto, but the top two, a nice little ding-dong stretch battle there with Jean Marie getting it done. And a nice little $7.60 price, 95 buyer figure for Jean Marie there. Larry Rivelli trainee. Last year, 2019, 6 wins and 7 starts. Came into yesterday's race with a 5-race win streak. So now he's on a nice little 6-race win streak. 13th win and 19 career starts. So Jean Elizabeth, nice little wind machine, turf sprinter on the female side. South Beach for the 4-year-old and up ladies, going 7.5 furlongs. I like Mitchell Road in here. Mitchell Road is going to wind up running second as the even money favorite. Lefebvre, we talked with Ron Nicoletti yesterday, the number one horse. At 15-1 on the morning line, that one took a little action. Ron liked Lefebvre, the number one horse. That one runs third. It'll be number three, Atomic Blonde, winning. Lightly raced runner from Pletcher and Castellano, had only 4 career starts coming in. This was a pretty nice race in the second try in Stakes Company. First 3 starts of the career, a couple of starts in maiden races at Monmouth, broke the maiden in the second start, came over to Belmont, went through a non-winners of one condition, and then over at Aqueduct ran third last time in the winter memory. So now in only the 5th career start, nice win in the South Beach yesterday for as I say, a lightly raced Pletcher 4-year-old, but on the ladies' side of things, again, being pretty lightly raced and now looking good in the second start in a stakes race to get it done yesterday. You would think Todd Pletcher, a nice little 4-year-old female turf runner in Atomic Blonde going forward. She winds up with a 92 buyer yesterday in the South Beach. All right, why don't we take our first break? When we come back, we'll go through a little more of the stakes action. And as I say, after that, we will be joined by Brian Addo as the two of us will take a look at today's Rainbow Six sequence at Gulfstream Park. Stay tuned.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB. With our newly designed, state-of-the-art mobile wagering site, everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Let's jump right back in. Gulfstream Park yesterday, race number 7 was the Fred Hooper. We did talk to Dale Romans yesterday. He had a number of horses entered in here. I liked Free Enterprise, Chad Brown and Klarowicz runner, the number 8 horse. You can look for the chicklet, but Free Enterprise just never really got into any kind of a spot where you thought, oh, this horse is going to be good looking. Zenden set most of the pace, the number 2 horse for Pletcher and John Velasquez, but does get caught late by number 5, Fat Man, who wins by a chart margin of a length. Number 4, Rare Form from Dale Romans. I thought might be the speed, wasn't, but wound up a good third in there. But the winner again, Fat Man, 101 buyer for Fat Man. Irod Ortiz on board. And again, a nice late run to get it done, $15.40. And our friend Mike Callahan, we had him sit in here for a little bit yesterday, just before this race. And we were talking, and Mike had the bankroll yesterday, Pegasus Day bankroll for 25 patrons who were selected randomly. And everybody wound up with a little money at the end of the day because Mike had a double, nice double going into this race with Fat Man. For a buck, the double paid $86 and change. Mike had it 5 times. So, again, the bankroll team wound up with a nice little chunk of change, nice little piece of free money at the end of the day from Mike Callahan's bankroll. But this was part of what scored for him, Fat Man, and, as I say, the double going back to the prior race as well. Fat Man gets it done in the Hooper. You know, this would be a handicap division kind of a race, a mile, grade 3. I don't know whether coming out of this we're looking at any kind of horses that, oh, here's one on the handicap division who is really going to jump out. I think the field before the race was kind of some horses that picking their spots are going to be interesting to watch in the handicap division during the year. Then coming out of the race, probably the same kind of thing. That said, the 101 from Fat Man was a solid, that was a lifetime best buyer number for Fat Man. So we'll see. But this is a 6-year-old who, you would think what you have on the page is what you have already, but maybe just getting pretty good in the form cycle right now. Be interesting to see where they choose to go with him next. All right, let's move on to the La Proviante Grade 3 event. 1.5 miles on the grass. I liked Mean Mary. I had that one on top. Lightly raced for a grand motion. 8-1 on the morning line. Went off as the 5-2 second choice. The favorite was Lady Paname from Chad Brown. I just was concerned. Lady Paname hadn't been seen since November 2018, but it was Chad Brown, Matiquette and company, so prominent connections, and Chad usually has them ready. I just shied a little bit away. I had that one right underneath, but shied a little bit away and went with Mean Mary on top. It winds up 1-2 the way I had it figured out. In fact, 1-2-3 because Tariga I had in third spot for Grand Motion coming out of the stakes win at Gulfstream at the end of December. So my horse is 1-2-3 in here, but Mean Mary, who took the lead, and then in the stretch, boy, look at this stretch run. Grand Motion has a really nice four-year-old filly on the turf now. She came into it with only 4 career starts, couple of wins coming into it, so she's now 3 wins and 5 career starts. This was her stakes debut. The chart margin was 5 lengths, and again, she took the lead and just kind of ran away. Now, that said, they did kind of let her go out there and lope along, 25 and change, 51, 117, but came home the 1.5 miles in a very legitimate 228 and change. So, again, a nice ride by Luis Saez. A nice race from Mean Mary. She'll definitely be one to watch in that division of the ladies on the turf for Grand Motion. You would have to think the potential is that we'll see her up at Saratoga being a Grand Motion runner, but there'll be plenty of opportunities before that for Mean Mary, who looked great yesterday. 94 buyer. So the buyer doesn't necessarily jump off. It was a lifetime best for her. But again, it was only also her 5th career start, so there's potentially some upside still to come from Mean Mary. All right, the inside information. We had Peter Miller on the show yesterday. As I say, he won the earlier stake with Texas Wedge, upsetting Shecky Shabazz. Spice Perfection, though, looked like the one that for Peter Miller was going to get it done. Went off as the 8-5 favorite. And Spice Perfection is going to be the number 7 horse. And coming into the straight, you thought, oh, she's in a pretty good spot here. But then she kind of gets swallowed up late. In a race that we said had the potential to fall apart because there was a lot of early speed. And you can see Spice Perfection takes the lead here, being chased by Wildwood's Beauty, the number two. Nona Madeline is the number six. But look at Pink Sands, the number 11 for Shug McGahee. I had Spice Perfection on top, but on the handicappers report yesterday, as we were talking with Brian Addo, I mentioned I thought Pink Sands might be an interesting play given the potential pace scenario, because there were five or six horses in the inside information yesterday who were likely to want the lead. And it played out that way a little bit. The legitimate fractions, 22 and change, 45, 110 and change. And Pink Sands then did come like the freight train. Wins by a nice chart margin of three lengths with the fourth choice in the race. Paid $12.80. Jose Ortiz on board winds up with a 92 buyer figure. But again, it was just one of those where pace-wise, you could look beforehand and at least think Pink Sands, given the pace scenario, could be a little bit interesting to take a look at. All right, the one that kind of blew up the tote board yesterday, the McKnight. A mile and a half on the grass, grade three event. And again, this is the one that had to throw the monkey wrench into the Rainbow Six that made for the dicey situation at the end where so many horses were alive with a single in the Rainbow yesterday. This clearly had to play into it. Red Knight obviously took a lot of action on Rainbow Six tickets. Spice Perfection probably also a favorite like that running out. But Red Knight, the number one horse at 4-5, will run fourth in here. It's going to be Spooky Channel, 11 over 7 cross border over number 3 Appreciato. But Spooky Channel gets up late by a neck at $74. Cross border was very playable. I had that one right underneath in my mix. And if you had cross border, you had to cry because boom, boom, he's here. And it just gets caught. A neck margin on the chart for Spooky Channel, $74.60. And again, hats off to our colleague Brian Addo, who had used Spooky Channel right underneath. He liked Red Knight on top, but on the one sheet yesterday, he had Spooky Channel right underneath. And Spooky Channel, as I said at the top of the show, playable. I'm not saying, how is this horse not on everybody's ticket? 20-1 on the morning line, went off at 36-1. But this was a horse that in 2019 had 5 wins and 8 starts. Now, a lot of those were at smaller venues like Turf Paradise. And so there was maybe a class question mark, but was doing it in stakes at Turf Paradise. And when horses show the ability, that can translate regardless of the venue. The odds reflected some of that. But I'm just saying, I'm surprised that this horse puts what seems like so much of a monkey wrench into the Rainbow Six, again, given the money that was put into the pool and the number of combinations that had to be covered. But clearly, that was the case, given the way the scenario played out. Spooky Channel, 96 buyer yesterday in the win in the McKnight for trainer Brian Lynch. And Julian Lepereau on board with the nice late run to get up just in the shadow of the wire. All right, let's jump in and take a look at the two highlights of the day. Let's start out with the Pegasus Turf Invitational. Favorite in here is number 3, Without Parole. Winds up a very disappointing 11th in the field of 12. But at 3-1, kind of a lukewarm favorite. I liked Arklow. I said I've been kind of married to that one. That one was a little bit disappointing. 9-1, wound up 5th. I had Zulu Alpha down in the third spot. Saddler's Joy was in between those two. Saddler's Joy, again, a little bit disappointing in the 6th spot. But as I say, I had Zulu Alpha down in the third spot. I had Magic Wand in the 4th spot. So I had boxed mine up just because we were getting some odds. So I wound up a tiny piece of what turned out to be a pretty nice exacta with these two. Because Zulu Alpha, who again, kind of logical for Mike Maker, as certainly a player off a string of triple digits. Zulu Alpha, the number one horse. Boy, this is a nice ride up the rail from Tyler Gaffleone. He sees some light, and he goes, and he gets it done, again, at a $25 and change payout. Magic Wand holds off nicely for a second, holds off the oncoming Instilled Regard from Chad Brown. Magic Wand, obviously, Aiden O'Brien and Ryan Moore. Ryan Moore said, yeah, she gave a good of account of herself, Magic Wand, you know, kind of the world traveler for Aiden O'Brien and Ryan Moore. He said, gave a good account of herself, but she got beat by a horse that ran well, obviously, in Zulu Alpha. And that it was a nice performance with a very solid number. Tyler Gaffleone, Mike Maker, Zulu Alpha, 105 buyer yesterday in the Pegasus Turf. And in the Pegasus itself, I didn't know what to do with Mucho Gusto, because as a three-year-old last year, I was never totally on the bandwagon. There were races where you thought, okay, Mucho Gusto in a good spot. Ran third in the Travers, ran second behind Maximum Security in the Haskell. Then winds up a disappointing fourth in the Oklahoma Derby as the 4-5 favorite. So again, now having laid off since September, comes back, faces older for the first time. I didn't have any level of confidence in Mucho Gusto. I will say, we had talked to Dale yesterday, and I had mentioned a few times, Mr. Freeze to me was a little bit interesting at potentially a price. 20-1 on the morning line, took more action than that. Mr. Freeze, the number 8, went off at 7-1. Wondered if he would be the speed, and sure enough, Mr. Freeze went out and took the lead. Dug in nicely. Mr. Freeze winds up running second, but Mucho Gusto, the 10, he made it a laugher in the stretch. Start margin 4.5. War Story tries to get up late, but cannot catch Mr. Freeze. Diamond Oops, the horse I liked, the number 3, winds up 4th in here. Again, a couple of disappointments. Tax winds up 9th out of the field of 10, and Higher Power, who was the favorite at 5-2, wound up last in the field of 10. But Mucho Gusto, nice win. Clearly, Bob Baffert now with a player on the handicap division scene. And maybe Mucho Gusto will be able to get it over a few more times this year as compared to McKinsey last year, who was just so talented, but just couldn't get into the winner's circle as much as you would have thought, given that talent. But given what we saw yesterday from Mucho Gusto, that may switch up for the Baffert barn. Game plan looks like for him, excuse me, Saudi Arabia. Bob Baffert commented that McKinsey had been invited. Mucho Gusto hadn't, but Baffert thought likely correctly that Mucho Gusto likely to get an invite now. All right, and I don't know whether I mentioned Mucho Gusto, 107 buyer, so very legitimate buyer number for Mucho Gusto as well. Lifetime best buyer for Mucho Gusto. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Brian Addo will jump on board with me, and we'll go through the Sunday afternoon Rainbow Six sequence at Gulfstream Park. It is a mandatory payday, and there will be a lot of money in the pool, so we will jump into the pool right after this. Stay tuned.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB. With our newly designed, state-of-the-art mobile wagering site, everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be. No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Bob.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our colleague Brian Addo, live from Florida, and he was at Gulfstream yesterday. Brian, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Seth. Good to talk to you. Obviously, the Cavs yesterday, a very exciting day, and you texted me. I was unaware, and then you texted me later in the day and said, well, maybe we won't be talking on Sunday, and that absolutely blew me away that there were five, I believe, Seth.
Half tickets. Of the field.
It blew me away. I was beyond stupefied because, they put, as we talked, they put almost $1.5 million in the pool yesterday. And the 35-1 winner was obviously difficult to come up with. But that was
I tipped my cap to you because on the one sheet, you liked Red Knight, but you had a Spooky Channel right underneath.
I had him second. I'm actually glad I loved Red Knight. I thought Red Knight was a single. And otherwise, I didn't play the Rainbow. Otherwise, I would have been sick to my stomach because, like you said, I did have him. But I would not have been able to come up with Doodle Alpha for any stretch. I would have had to buy that race to come up with Doodle Alpha. So that made me feel a little bit better because I won't lie to you. I did the math in my head, and I said, well, if I use my two picks here, my two picks there, and I would not have come up with Doodle Alpha. So at least that didn't cause me any lost sleep last night.
I used Doodle Alpha down in the third spot, and so I thought that horse was playable. The winner of the opening leg paid 15. Sequence was 15 and change, 7 and change, 12 and change, 74, obviously. But as I said, that was a horse that had 6 wins and 8 starts last year. I mean, there was something to like about that horse. You did. $25 Zulu Alpha, who I thought certainly was playable, and then $8 for Mucho Gusto. And I'm guessing it paid $394,000. I'm guessing that's either 2 or 3 tickets.
2 tickets, yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. Half of the field, including the favorite, would have paid off, higher power would have paid off the whole thing. So, as I said at the top of the show, phew, for those of us who are looking to play today. And I do that also on behalf of Gulfstream Park executives, so I'm sure we're sweating out the finish. But let's talk before we get into today, some thoughts on the Pegasus itself. I said when I watched the replay and reviewed that a few minutes ago, Mucho Gusto, to me, was one of those three-year-olds I never really jumped on board with any enthusiasm last year. Given the way he ended the season in the Oklahoma Derby, I wasn't sure what to make of him yesterday. But as it played out, I think Bob Baffert has a nice runner in the handicap division.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't like, fall over, drop dead, surprised that he won. I mean, I did not like him at all. It was just kind of, to me, Seth, I don't really understand where that race came from. I mean, this is a horse that was fourth in the Remington Park Derby, Oklahoma Derby at Remington Park. I mean, he was a second-tier three-year-old last year. So to see him, in fact, as you probably know, watching the race, he was 2-5 in the race. I mean, he was never not going to win. I picked Mr. Freeze, who sadly for runs a race of his life, and he gets dropped. He's well clear of second. No one else in the race ran at all. And Mucho Gusto was 2-5 around the track. He was just like, wow, so this horse is going to win by 5? Well, yes, he is going to win by 5. So it was that was odd to me. Now, like I said, he was a B. I took him 5th. It's not, I'm not falling over. I'm surprised that he won, but it was just the manner that he won and the fact that really – only 2 horses in the race did any running at all. It was very surprising to see it play out as it did. But as I said to Gene Kirshner last night, our buddy, I think, and Jim Gluckson, my good buddy, Breeders' Cup, I said, I think that the niche now that the Pegasus has created is, we're seeing some monster performances. We're also seeing that horses that are obviously over the top after dramatic and extended and demanding campaigns. You think of California Chrome, you think of Acclimate last year, and now this year you think of Higher Power. I mean, how does Higher Power back up at entering the far turn yesterday with a trip and a race flow that suited him? So there's a lot of kind of, you leave the Pegasus, applauding the Mucho Gustos of the world, but then you kind of scratch your head and saying, well, boy, he didn't run at all. How is that even possible? So I think that's kind of going forward, if there is, you know, if this race remains relevant, you have to think about that as a handicapper, the campaign some of these horses had. And it's like, well, you know what? It's $16 million, it's 12, it's 9, it's 3, it's a big number. We're kind of still in training. Let's just run in it and throw something at the wall and see if it sticks. And I think a lot of times it hasn't really stuck to the wall for some of these horses.
Mucho Gusto yesterday, a 107 lifetime best buyer, so a good number for him. And Baffert was saying Saudi Cup probably next.
Well, I mean, it's only $20 million, so
that's right. Yeah, that'll cover the cost. That'll cover the flight. Although I think they pick up the flight, so you're good there, too. All right, let's jump in. Got, 15 minutes or so to go over this sequence and give some ideas. And as you and I were talking yesterday, I was debating, should we put a ticket together? But I think, if you want to put one together, Twitter later, I'll toss one out here on the network and on Twitter. But to me, doing it before we really have the scratches formalized, and we do have some scratches that Ron Nicoletti put up earlier. So far, it looks like the rainbow sequence, there aren't much. Race 10, number 1 is out, according to Ron Nicoletti, and race 11, number 6 is out. So those are early scratches, but they aren't officially up on the Gulfstream site. And in this sequence, it's not so much, you know, if you're 4 deep in a race and you say, oh, in the rainbow, I'll use only one, or I'll use 3 or whatever, and then there's scratch, you don't necessarily pull up the next horse in that race. You may look at another race to pull one in that you wanted, because it'll change the cost of the ticket. So I just thought this morning we'll just give some ideas and then maybe later on put actual tickets together, because as I say, with the scratch situation, I thought that made a little more sense. But let's jump in.
I agree with that. And just quickly, not to cut you off, but before we start, those are the only two scratches. I'm on Equibase now. And race 10, number 1, Create Again. Race 11, number 6, U.S. Army Corps. So a major player in that race. So, I think we can get going in the fact that those are likely the only two scratches. The weather, beautiful today. You couldn't ask for a better day. Get after it, everyone, I guess.
Yeah, put your ticket together and take a shot, because there will be a lot of money in the pool today. And, again, even if it plays out logically, you'll get a nice chunk of change. It'll put a smile on your face. All right, let's kick it off. Race number 6. Post time scheduled a little before 3 o'clock. That's when the rainbow that's when the rainbow kicks off. Optional claimer starter allowance, a mile on the grass. What are your thoughts on the 6th?
Well, I saw some articles, Steph, that said, you know, manageable rainbow 6, that kind of thing. I don't know. I felt a little otherwise. I thought there were races that were problems. I thought there were spread races. This is one of them, 2-4 over to 6-5-1 for me on the 1 sheet. I think if you look at Rebel off the claim for Terry Pompey, he's got a very nice meet, and she does not claim a lot of horses. She's 2-for-6 off the claim. You look at this runner, the only time he's run on turf was a really good second to a clear winner while he was clear of third in the juvenile stakes of State Bred Stakes, where he ran a 67 buyer, which is as good as anyone can do in this field. I think Rebel is very, very playable here for a very underrated and a very sharp barn. Dancing Dunhill broke through for Weaver last time and did it the right way. And I know facing winners is difficult, but this is a course and distance winner, and this is not a field of any freaks in here. So I think as a kind of a fresh new face, he's eligible to run well in here. Vintage Kitten certainly will get bet for Maker, the Ramses, and Jose Ortiz. Blazing Desire for Irad, who seems like he wins 6 races a day and, you know, flexed his muscles yesterday with some just really good riding, obviously, aboard Mucho Gusto. And then, Poppy's Boys down inside is tactical off the, second off the layoff, first route try last time. And even a horse like, Seth, a horse like KW Captain Flynn, all the way on the outside, to me, could be lone speed in here, stretching out off 5 furlongs. This is a problem race to me. I don't know how you saw it, but, you know, this might be a race where you have a 7-2 favorite, and everybody else is like 4-5, 6-1, and it's a real difficult kickoff to the sequence to me.
I was with you. I heard some talk, it's a kind of a manageable sequence. Manageable may be the right word. Because I didn't look at it as a sequence where I just thought, I'm overwhelmed. But there are a lot of races like this where I think you can make fairly similar cases for 3 or 4 or 5 I'll wind up maybe two deep in here, and I'll feel okay. I won't feel super confident, and I thought the sequence was like that. I have it 6-5-4-2, and I might sit on the 6 and the 5 on the ticket, Mike Maker and Vintage Kitten, and Mike Maker and Blazing Desire, but I went with Vintage Kitten on top, Jose Ortiz, the Ramses, a little more lightly raced. I thought these two certainly looked like players, but yeah, I have Dancing Dunhill and Rebelled right underneath, and Rebelled, again, I looked at the same thing you did. The Lone Turf Race, the number there is good enough, and that one scares me. But as I say, 6 and the 5 probably. And I pulled up Mike Welch had an article in the Racing Form where he put a ticket together. I pulled up Welch's ticket. He's going to use the 4 and the 5 in here. So we're all kind of in the same ballpark, but I think we're all thinking the same thing. It's a race that maybe is a little bit tougher than you would like in the sequence, but I think the sequence plays out with that. You're just going to have to kind of make your stand in these races.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, because especially if you're on a budget, you just can't go 5 by 5 by 5 by 5 and, you know, be able to afford it. So race 7 kicks off the late pick 5, and there is a heavy morning line favorite here, which is something that isn't really in a lot of these races. It's fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. It's a 3X. The tag's 25,000, 6.5 on the main track.
I went to beat the favorite, but with the second choice. I went 1, 3, 2, and 4, and I may stick with the 1 and the 3. Again, I'll put out an actual play later in the day when we're a little more firm as far as scratches and how the track's playing and whatnot. I will say the Welch ticket, he used 1 and 6, so he's leaving Crumb Bun right out of his mix. But I have Free to Fly on top. I looked at the morning line, and I'll be interested to hear when you make some comments. I like Free to Fly better than Crumb Bun. I mean, if I was making the morning line, I would have made Free to Fly the favorite. I think off the past couple of starts, Irad Ortiz on board. Class-wise, I think is going to stack up nicely, does move up a little bit, and maybe on the class moves, that's why Crumb Bun gets favored. But I just think Free to Fly is in good form right now. Crumb Bun, again, that one's moving down a little bit, so that may be part of the reason for the morning line favoritism. The race 2 back was very good, that number. So that one belongs in the mix. Janet B. Does It All. I thought the race 2 back was one you could take a look at. And then Dana Grace, a little bit interesting to me, that Luis Saez sticks on board despite kind of a dud last time. I could make a case for that one at a price, but at a price, not the kind I'm willing to add money to my rainbow for. So again, I'd probably go with my top two in here, 1, 3, 2, and 4.
Yeah, I think this is a race, Seth, where this might be the most narrow of the races. I have the same order, but I'm going to use it. I took all my spots here in the 1 seat, 1-3 over the 2-5-6. I'm not going to talk about the top two because you did it, and you did it well, and I agree with everything you said. Now, Crumb Bum, the one thing you did mention I want to throw out there, 0-10 at Gulfstream Park. So, I mean, take note of that.
Yeah.
That's pretty noteworthy to me. But the horses, I think Chuck's Putt is interesting with his purse speed and the class drop. And I, you know, you said Mike Welch has got the 6. I'll make you smile. This is a horse I went back in and added kind of at the last moment. We saw it up at Saratoga this year, how well and how much better the Churchill Downs shippers were. And I know this gal didn't do any running at all last time when she was at Churchill, but she was in for 50, okay? The run 3 back there for 40 wasn't bad at all. She's facing horses. She's facing two next out winners in that race. You look at the winner last race, you know, one off for fun. She had a little trouble early on that cost her some tactical position. I think I'll Make You Smile is very interesting, and I don't think she's like her best race is that far off of D. And so if you're against Crumb Bun, then you can really kind of get really wild in this race. I think they'll be closer, Crumb Bun, maybe 2-1, 3-5, 5-2, or co-favorite, so I agree with you there. I'm going to look at this race a little bit deeper than probably the norm, and I've got 1, 3, 2, 5, 6. I'm going to try to get a little narrow later on, but I think to me, Crumb Bun's a potentially vulnerable favorite, and 3-5 from what could be a tricky inside post and a gal that, let's be honest, Seth, isn't really in love with winning horse races.
Yeah.
I think there are other ways you can look in here, whereas the public might just sit on those two.
Eighth race to me, I have at the top of the page, competitive. And as I look over at the Mike Welch selections, I think it verifies it because my top four and his top four only overlap in a couple of spots. He's going four deep in here. Mike Welch, 1, 3, 5, and 6 for Welch. I have it 1, 2, 8, and 3. I'll talk about that in a moment. What are your thoughts in race 8?
Well, I mean, I don't even have the 5 and 6 in my five slots, so that kind of tells you what kind of race it is. I am 9, 8, 3, 2, 1, and I think Snap Hook, to me, Seth, could be the controlling loose speed under Javier. You look at him in here, there's not a lot of speed. He's run on the lead many times. He's run well on turf. He drops in class. Mike Pino has not run a horse at the meet, so this one is here to run well. Picks up Javier, so there's intent here, too, obviously, that he expects him to run well. And I know both Painters to his direct inside, but I think with an alert beginning, Javier can clear this field and maybe take him on a merry journey. And if not, and he's running, you know, with both Painter, that's how I played this race. I think maybe the two of them can maybe try to gut this field off the far turn and open up, and they just get there, you know, no one else gets there. So I'm going to put those two on top, but the very logical to down inside, and they're going to save all the ground. Armchair Jockey, but no speed, Seth, whatsoever with Armchair Jockey. Tupa doesn't have a lot of speed either based on the race last time. Honey Won't doesn't either. So I think they're probably the three best horses and the three likely to take all the money, but they've got race flow issues to me, and a racer, I don't see it being that fast early. So I'm going to use them, but I'm going to use them defensively. I'm going to play Snap Hook and Bold Painter. I'm thinking a little outside the box here in race 8.
Yeah, again, I have it 1, 2, 8, and 3. I'll probably try to use all of those if I can on the ticket. I agree on Armchair Jockey. I have that one down in the fourth spot. And if I was going to pair, that would probably be the one I would pair. Off the last race, going to take a lot of attention, obviously. But you got to get the trip when you have a horse like this. And, you know, if they come around the turn and that one's swinging five wide, he's going to be up against it. So
real problem.
Yeah, Armchair Jockey down at the bottom of my mix. And as I said, if I'm pairing, that one probably goes. Honey Won't and Tufa, the 1-2, I think are both Tufa maybe a little bit more, has enough positional speed to maybe be up and in the mix. You know, was sitting back a ways last time, but that was with a 45 and a 109. The race right before is maybe more like what we'll get today. That was on the dirt, obviously, and an off-the-turfer, but there are some other turf races like that where it's kind of in the mix. So I'll look for those to be up in the hunt and live up to the numbers they're showing, which I think are competitive with this very competitive bunch. So for me, I have it 1, 2, 8, and 3, as I say. Probably try to use all of those.
Yeah, the ninth is now finally, at least for me, I think there's a little more stronger opinion. It's a flat mile, Billy Demers, 4-year-olds and up. It's an open claimer, 8,000. How'd you see it, Seth?
I have it 6, 5, 4, and 10, and I'll probably use 3 if I can in here. Watching the Wheels. This is one, it's just a real handicapping puzzle when this happens, because the horse has been racing against significantly better and now drops into what is essentially the bottom level. Also goes turf to dirt. Now, the class move may mitigate the surface switch, and Kelly Breen, the trainer, does very well turf to dirt, but there's red flags on drops like this and the surface switch. But I just thought, if this horse takes to the dirt, may wind up to have a class edge on this bunch. So I'm using that one, but there are some question marks. Brooks All Mine comes off a nice string of improving buyers, including a win in a similar race last time. Kind-hearted Coda, I think, is in some good form right now. Quick Point comes off of 2 wins. I just wasn't sure how this horse would class up with this particular bunch for Rob Falcone, but I wouldn't argue against the 10. I will toss out Welch in this ninth race. It's interesting. I have it 6, 5, 4, and 10. Welch has it 1, 5, and 8. So the only one we overlap with is the 5 in here. How did you see race 9?
Well, I'm with you, and I'm 6-5 over the 10, and I will be very aggressive with the 6-5 and some fringe 10. You know, the one I looked at, but you look at who this horse has come from, you know, Delgado, Staffy Joseph, and Calabrese, and no disrespect to Joe Cantonese, I don't know how he's going to improve this one off that barn. But, yeah, watching the wheels and Brooks All Mine, to me, they're better horses than an average bunch. And Kelly Green struggled down here. He's got it going a little bit of late. And you look at his turf to dirt stats, 38%. It's a 32-horse sample set, so it's not like it's 3 for 10. It's a sizable sample. So I took a little bit of a shot. Brooks All Mine is obviously the more likely winner, and certainly now Bobby Falcone's had a real struggle at the meet. But quick point, is his only winner. He's won for 21. You've got to use him in some way, shape, or form. But on a ticket, as you can see, and with everybody watching and listening can see too, I'm pretty wide early. So now I need to start reining it in a little bit late, and I'll do that here with the 6 and a 5.
I will say, I wish our 5 had a little more of a name jockey on board.
Let's see. Well, that's a very fair point. He is 6 for 30. If he was sitting next to me at the bar later this afternoon,
exactly.
I wouldn't know who he was. But
six for 30 last year, in the entire year. That doesn't.
That's a point last year. Yes.
Yeah. That doesn't lend confidence necessarily.
Maybe he's just picking his spot, Seth. Maybe let's go with that. He just really likes the horses he rides. No. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I won the last on board. Yeah, so, yeah, but I have him in the mix. I'm just saying, I wish we had another.
He's just very selective, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
He rides once every week and a half.
Picking his spots. That's always important in life. 10th race at Gulfstream on Sunday. Optional claimer with a C condition, 7.5 furlongs on the turf. Again, I'll toss out Mike Welch. Mike Welch is only going 2 deep in here, and he's in a similar spot as far as I am with the top two. Mike Welch is using the 2 and the 7 in race 10. What are your thoughts?
I've got it 9-2 over to 7, and I had Sean Baye in the Hall of Fame. I picked him on the show we did that day. I like this horse a lot. Now, this is the post is normally a problem here, but he's very, very tactical. I know he hasn't run since the Hall of Fame, and I know Saif, you know, looked like a new horse getting to a mile last time, and he forgot to stop. But I would think Luis Diaz is going to put Sean Baye right off the flank of Saif, and he's going to get first run on the rest. And if this guy has grown up since last year, he really, really improved. Stretching out in the Hall of Fame, it was the first time he went 2 turns on the turf, and he's only run twice on the turf. He has the look to me, Seth, of an important horse this year for Todd. And Todd is, what is this year, 28% off this extended layoff. So I would expect him to be ready to run in here. Clearly, Saif is the horse to beat, and he'll be favored, and probably on budget plays will be singled. And hey, Dakota, you know, had a little rough go of it last time. And you look at the race he's coming out of at Aqueduct with Dev Amari, Dream Friend, and then certainly Instilled Regard, who ran well again yesterday to be third in the Pegasus Turf. You know, that race coupled with the race 2 back when he freaked off the service claim, I mean, that's a real shocker. 97 buyer, yeah, he's got to be used as well. I just worry with Hey Dakota if he's at the mercy of the pace here and he's going 7.5 where he's never been this short before. So he's gonna have to wind it up a little more early on than he might like to, and that's another reason why I like the tactical speed of Sean Baye and certainly Saif. So I'll be aggressive with the 9 and the 2 with a little 7 as a B-level backup in race 10. We'll close it out. What we hope is a big moment for everyone out there, yourself, myself included, because I would think with I talked to our friends yesterday, Seth, Gino and I on the way out ran into Phil Janak, Mike Kane, and Ed Gray smoking a cigar because they worked for Gulfstream celebrating the day and the fact that it was behind them and went off without a hitch. So congratulations on job well done to those guys, friends of ours. And they said, and I said to Phil, I said, what do you think in 15? He said, well, we have 12 in our head. And I think that's a very, very logical, likely number because there's not a lot going on. And they didn't remember. I asked them. They couldn't give me an answer. They were kind of thinking about it, and they seemed to think maybe I was right, but they weren't for sure. But I said, I just don't remember that 3.6 ever being this high on a mandatory day. So we'll see what happens. But again, throwing it to you here, it's a maiden special weight, 3-year-olds and up, 1 mile and 1/16 on the turf. And there is a big scratch in here of number 6, U.S. Army Corps, who was a definite major player for Shug in here. How did you see the finale, Seth?
I had U.S. Army Corps on top. So, and again, I was only going to probably go too deep in here with the 6 and the 4. So that changes things up. I will tell you, Mike Welch, he has a 2.47. I have this race now 4, 9, and 2. And again, with the scratch of the 6, I, as I say, I was thinking maybe too deep at the 6 and the 4. I'm not going to single in the last leg. So now I have to kind of readjust a little bit with the scratch of the number 6. But Scano, for me, seems like on the numbers, pretty good play in here, at least to include on the ticket. Does have the blinkers today. Luis Saez jumps on board for Tommy Albertrani. So I'll put Scano on top. Super Energizer, it's Trombetta, it's Live Oak off some good numbers, some good, it looks like kind of improving and figuring it out and maybe primed for a good effort under Jose Ortiz. And Tolkien in the third spot, pretty good looking debut effort, but that was against maiden 50 claimers. Class-wise, this is a little bit of a tougher bunch. So maybe I'm going to go 2 again with the 4 and the 9, but I'll kind of want to reevaluate now. Whenever you lose your top pick and you're moving up, it kind of changes things around a little bit. But again, I have it 4, 9, and 2. How'd you see the finale?
Oh, losing your top pick in the finale. That's a tough one. Yeah, I had 3rd. I had a 10-7 over to 6. I'll move up Cano now into 3rd. You know, I thought Centurion for Jimmy Jurgens was pretty interesting in here because, as we all know, Jimmy doesn't care or try to win first out. And this horse is going 6 furlongs on the turf. That's not what a pioneer of the Nile wants to do anyway. And he wasn't bet, predictably. I thought he ran okay, Seth. I thought he, you know, held his position around the track in a race that they weren't trying. I think it sets him up and acquitted himself nicely. And now here's Javier getting aboard for a barn that is 25% sprint to route and a barn that's, you know, better with second out maidens. They paid $425 for this horse, so they like him clearly. And I'm going to put him on top in a race that, you know, I respected U.S. Army Corps, and I certainly respect Scano, who I move into 3rd now. But I thought if some of these newcomers can run, and that's the reason I picked Lonesome Fugitive in 2nd, I thought they're going to have a major say. And, you know, Chad hasn't run a lot of horses at the meet, so you have to think the horses he is running are ready to roll. This is the 1st-er by an Irish sire, Zoffany. With John Gunther, Irad is here. It's, you know, we know Chad, I mentioned already, he's 22% with 1st-ers. I just kind of look at this, the fact that this horse is here to run, says he's really is ready to run, because Chad hasn't run a lot of horses at the knees and very quiet. So I'm going to put Lonesome Fugitive definitely in my mix. Cano, as you mentioned, is certainly hits hard. The blinkers should help him find a little more early speed. He draws well in here, as you know, fits on paper, as you said. He's got structure in his past performances. Gofu is a pretty decent horse, who was 3rd, 2 back, and then returned to win here at Gulfstream. So there's a lot to like about him. You mentioned Tolkien, who's might have to answer the class question, but he's got the number in here to suggest he can, and Zacharisa never wins on debut. Super Energizer's in the mix with Jose and your guy Trombo. Down inside, African Heritage got 2 big numbers on the turf set. So, you know, there's ways to go in here in a race where if somebody feels like running the race of their life, they're going to win. It's just a matter of trying to figure out who it is going to be to end a rainbow that I think, as you kind of agreed with what I was saying, I did not think this was maybe as cut and dry as some of the stories and articles and comments that maybe we saw in the media.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think there's any race that even if you're 3 deep, you feel super confident. And normally a sequence that I like is there's at least one race where maybe I can get a single that I feel pretty good about. But there's a race somewhere in the sequence where I'm 3 deep and I know I've got the winner in there. And I don't think there's a race like that in this sequence today.
Agree. And then take it one step further. I really don't see a race, Seth, where you can say, oh, this is my single. Now I can, you know, spread otherwhere. Yeah. I don't really see that. I know we mentioned the one horse that was 7-5 on the morning line. And then, you know, we said, well, it was also 0-10 at Gulfstream Park. So, yeah, that's when it really becomes problematic, too, that you can't find a single in a deep sequence like this.
But, again, that said, it's also not a sequence where I feel like there's any race where it's a real dartboard kind of. Maybe this last race is the closest to it where you can make a case for a bunch of them. But I kind of feel like I got a little bit of a feel, but I'm going to have to take a stand and maybe leave off a couple of one or two others that I like to keep the ticket affordable. But I think it's a day where you can put a little bit of a ticket, an affordable ticket together, and at least take your shot, and you should, with the way the pool will be.
Right, and real quickly before I head out, I think we've seen these mandatories now happen a lot, and I was talking to Kate and Bradar yesterday, who I work with, the horse player now, and we kind of both at the same time said, you know what, these mandatory days aren't days where you're supposed to spread crazy, crazy deep, because there's so much coverage on these days, you really don't get like the payoff you would expect, because, you know, you're going to see it after the first race, it's going to be like 11,400,000 tickets still alive. You know what I mean, Jeff? And it's just like, oh my goodness, gracious. So, yeah, I think, maybe take a rubber band or two off the bankroll, but especially if you're not part of, like, a syndicate or a group of guys, you know, you play $200 ticket or $150 ticket, don't forget, that's 750 tickets. You have a lot of bang for your buck. So I would say peel a few extra bills off whatever you're normally going to play, but don't peel too many either, because there's kind of like the – you want to kind of find that soft spot of the curve and go with it.
And you mentioned Chad Brown earlier, and I will tell people to go see if they can find his acceptance speech at the Eclipse Awards the other night, because it was very good. I guess I didn't see the whole ceremony. I just watched clips of acceptance speeches. But I guess, and you could hear it in those clips, the band was kind of, supposedly you were supposed to keep your speech to a minute, and the band would start playing people off, aggressively was doing it. So I guess by the time Chad got up there, it was pretty much the end of the night, and they were kind of the ceremony had gone pretty quickly. So they were kind of ahead of time. So Chad got up there, and I guess he looked down at the band and he said, "Okay, we're running early. So hey, Johnny Sachs, go take a bathroom break."
I did not see that, but that's pretty good. I did watch last night when I got home. I did watch Seth Klarman's
acceptance speech,
and I thought that was phenomenal. It's on Twitter. It's like 2 minutes, and he basically gets up there, and he says, "Thank you. I'm privileged to win this award. Let's talk about what's really wrong in racing and what we need to do to improve it." And that was it.
Yeah.
And he did, and he hit a grand slam out of the park. It was something that needed to be said. He had the right stage to do it. This is a guy that's like 20th on the Forbes list of bazillionaires in the country, so you should listen to when he speaks. And I thought it was really well crafted, well said, and very poignant. And sadly, but 100% dead on accurate.
Yeah,
check it out.
Jay Privman actually quoted it in the Racing Form. He started out by saying, "Smartest man in the room got up and gave a speech," and I think he nailed it there, labeling Klarman a very astute observer, obviously, of the racing game, and he did a great job with the speech on Thursday night. Brian, got to wrap it up there in the pregame show at Gulfstream, so we'll send it down there so people can get some of their opinions as well. But appreciate the conversation. Good luck this afternoon.
Sounds good, Jeff. You as well. Everybody back home as well. And I'll talk to you on Friday.
All right, Brian Netto. Again, you can find his Gulfstream selections every Gulfstream Racing Day at CapitalOTB.com, Handicappers Report, nice printable sheet. I'm going to wrap things up. Don't forget Double Promotion Day today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. 1% bonus on your Aqueduct wagers with Capital OTB Bet. There are some restrictions. Check out the website. And we want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Gulfstream Park, champions start here. I'll be back in about an hour with OTB Live on this Sunday afternoon. Again, plenty of conversation still to come, and we'll toss out a little bit later a rainbow ticket. The Rainbow Six mandatory pay kicks off at Gulfstream probably around 3 o'clock with race number 6. Should be a fun afternoon. We'll see you in about an hour.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.